إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 16th session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajrat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Before we begin with our topic for tonight, which is going to be the second matter from which Iman is derived and through which it is increased and strengthened, we want to just review quickly some of the points that we covered last week in the modified questionnaire study guide number 15. The first question being mentioned, three reasons offered by the author, rahimahullah, which show the great benefit and the dire necessity of knowing and giving attention to the things from which Iman is derived. Three reasons that the author mentioned, and he would show the benefit and the necessity of knowing the things from which Iman is derived and giving attention to them. Any one of them. Anybody? Yani, the first thing that he, yes? The first thing he said is that Iman huwa kamal al-abd. Yani, Iman is the means to perfection of the human being. The second thing he said, that it is through Iman that a person's level, their station with Allah, is elevated in this world and in the next life. And the third thing he said, that Iman is the sabab and the tariq, and it's the cause or the means or the road for every khair, everything of good, yani, in this world and in the next life. So these are three very, very important reasons, yani, for which a person should strive to know what are the things that Iman is derived from, and how is it strengthened, and how is it increased. The second question, mention the four elements of what the author describes as the mujmal, general affairs from which Iman is derived. He said that Iman is derived from two things, yani those things which are mujmal and those things which are mufassal or mufassil. So as far as the mujmal, he said, he mentioned four things for the mujmal, that they are number one, naam? The contemplation of the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, which are recited. The ayat of Allah, al-matluwa, as opposed to the ayat of Allah, al-kawniya. So the ayat of Allah are two types. The matluwa, that is, that which is recited from the Quran and from the sunnah. Now, so that's the first one. And the second thing he said, contemplating the signs of Allah in His creation. Yani, ayat al-kawniya, of the various different types that they are. The third thing he mentioned,
desire to learn the truth.
Having a desire, being eager to know, to learn the truth, for which the person, the human being has been created. And the fourth of them, he said,
acting upon that truth.
Is acting upon that truth. That when a person learns the truth, that they live by it, but they act upon it. Mm-hmm. Question number three, discuss what the author mentions as the greatest means of achieving and strengthening Iman, and what does it entail? What is the greatest of all means of, yani, achieving Iman and strengthening Iman? He said it, naam.
Knowledge of Allah, of the beautiful names of Allah.
Naam, ma'rifatu asma'i al-husna. Having knowledge about the beautiful names of Allah, which are mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And this also entails, he said, yani, al-hirs ala fahm ma'aniha. Yani, being diligent and eager to know their meanings, to know those names, but also to know their meanings, And thirdly, he said, التعبد لله فيها أو بها, yani that a worship, that a person worship Allah by those names. Yani worship Allah by what those names require, by understanding their meanings and what they require of the human being. The fourth question, memorize the hadith, which supports the above, yani showing the importance of studying the names of Allah, the asma of Allah and his sifat. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ reported from Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah. The Prophet ﷺ, and this is a hadith that actually we should try to memorize. Yeah, we should try to memorize because it's of that great importance. If this is the greatest means of achieving iman and strengthening iman, knowing the names of Allah, and this hadith proves its importance. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا, that Allah has 99 names. يعني مِيَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا, 100 minus 1. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And then the Shaykh explained, أَحْصَاهَا إِحْصَى أَسْمَى إِلَّهِ, means to memorize them, to understand their meanings, to believe in them, and to worship Allah by them. The fifth question, briefly discuss what each of the three divisions or categories of Tawheed represent. Yani Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Uluhiyya, al-Asma wa Sifat. Briefly, what does each of them represent? Any one of them. Well, we should start with Tawheed al-Rububiyya. The oneness of Allah's Lordship over the whole world, meaning that He is the one who creates, He is the one who provides, He is the one who gives life and death. He is the one who controls all of the affairs of the creature, of His creatures in this universe. He controls everything. He manages it and He does whatever He wills. And He has no partner in any of that. Yani no one shares with Him any of that. That is His exclusively. As far as Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, divinity, the Tawheed of divinity, of Allah's divinity. Yani that He is the one who is divine, that He is the one alone who has the right to be worshipped. هو المعبود بحقٍ. He is the ma'bud. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ma'bud. There is no ma'bud. There is nothing that deserves to be worshipped. بحقٍ, that has the right to be worshipped, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every type of worship, whether it's fasting, charity, prayers, pilgrimage, whatever it is that a person does of worship, all of this, it is obligatory in it to do it exclusively for Allah alone. Yani to make ikhlas in it for Allah alone, and it's not permissible to direct any of it to other than Allah. The question number 6 mentioned the sources for the knowledge of Asma Allah, the names of Allah, His sifat, His characteristics, or, I'm sorry, we didn't finish the last one, right? Asma wa sifat. Yeah, he wasn't telling you Asma wa sifat. The names and characteristics of Allah, meaning to believe in everything that has been mentioned in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah of names as well as characteristics or qualities for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to confirm them for Allah in a way that is befitting of His greatness and His majesty and His glory. Yani to affirm them for Allah in the way that Allah intended, not to distort their meanings in any way. And the Shaykh, he said, Yani that, I think that's the next question, yeah. The next question is, the sources. He said, the sources, what are the sources for the knowledge of the names of Allah and His sifat? That they should be derived from the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah, and as well from what has been narrated from as-Sahaba and at-Tabi'een, and those who follow the, yani, in righteousness and excellence. The last question mentioned the deviations one must avoid in this area of Asma Allah and His Sifat. Yani the Shaykh mentioned two of the deviations, At-Ta'atil and At-Tamthil. Ta'atil meaning, yani to empty the names of their meanings. Yani they may affirm the words, but they don't give them any real meaning according to yani their meanings. And the Tamthil is to make an example. Yani to make an example, to compare, yani to liken Allah to something else. Yani Allah or His characteristics or His qualities, yani are like something in the creation, making an example. All of this is prohibited, and these are the deviations that many of the people of the past fell into. Okay. Mashallah. Let's go now to the second point. We're going to be reading in the English from the top of page 45. And I don't know how far we're going to be able to go, but hopefully we're going to be able to complete number two, the second point from the things from which Iman is derived, and number three. And then number three is very brief. We're going to have a little commentary on that. And then after that, the Shaykh has some discussion where he goes back to Yani, the importance of knowledge and the station, the high station of the people of knowledge and so on. Yani, the actual point number three is very, very brief. And actually, I looked at the English translation today, and I realized that they have, even though it's brief, they haven't even translated the whole of what the Shaykh said. Even though it's very brief. And then they just connected it to what follows it, which is not part of point three, but rather, yani, it's yani some discussion that the Shaykh has about the importance of the station of the people of knowledge, and the importance of knowledge, and the importance of reflecting upon the Qur'an. In any case, let's get started. As the time is moving right along. Now, so we're going to be reading, as I said, from the top of page 45 and maybe to the end of page 49. In Arabic, we're also on page 45, but near the bottom of the page. And we're going to try to read to the same page 49, the top in the Arabic. So we're going to start on page 45 in English and in Arabic. In English on the top, in Arabic, the bottom half of the page. It says number two, وَمِنْهَا, and from it, yani from the things, the affairs from which Iman is derived. From amongst the things from which Iman is derived and strengthened and increased, he said, تَدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأُمُومِ. This word, or this expression, عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأُمُومِ, is left out of the translation in English. So please make note of this particular point. Yani reflecting, contemplating on the Qur'an, عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأُمُومِ, in a general sense. Because he contrasts this, reflecting on the Qur'an in a general sense, and reflecting on some specific aspects of the Qur'an, the arrangement of the Qur'an, and the perfection, and the accuracy, and the clarity of the Qur'an. So here he's saying the first point, reflecting on the Qur'an, ala wajh al-umum, in a general sense. And he's just reflecting on the Qur'an without giving consideration to its arrangement, its perfection, its clarity, and precision, accuracy, without consideration of that. فَإِنَّ الْمُتَدَبِّرَ لا يزال يستفيد من علوم القرآن ومعارفه ما يزداد به إيمانا. يعني from the important matters that Iman is derived from and increased by and strengthened by is reflection upon the Qur'an in a general sense. For indeed the one who reflects upon the Qur'an will continue to benefit from the knowledge that's in the Qur'an. He will continue to benefit from it in a way that will increase his iman. In a way that will increase his iman. If a person reflects on the Qur'an, even in a general sense, they will continuously, unceasingly benefit from the knowledge of the Qur'an with that which will increase their iman. This is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, that in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 2nd Ayat, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Yani, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, when his ayat, the ayat of Allah, are recited to them, they hear them, they recite them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. This, the ayat of the Qur'an being recited, will increase them in iman. And also from their characteristics, is that they put their trust, their reliance in Allah alone, in their Rabb alone. Here, I just want to note that the Shaykh himself, in his tafsir of the Qur'an, mentions that how the recitation of Qur'an increases them in iman. He said it's because when a person hears the Qur'an being recited, if they listen to it and they reflect upon it, then they will learn things that they didn't know. And they will remember things that they have forgotten. And they will hear things that will encourage them to do good and be desirous of the reward of Allah. And they will hear things that will discourage them from committing sins and will make them afraid of the punishment of Allah. And all of this increases a person's iman. The point here is that the Shaykh is saying this is an ayat that proves that just general listening to the recitation of the Quran increases a person's iman. Then he says, وَكَذَلِكَ, and likewise, a person's iman is also increased, إِذَا نَظَرَ. Here, this word إِذَا is a shart for those who are studying Arabic, and the jawab of shart comes, yani, on the next page. يعني إذا نظر إذا نظر إلى انتظامه وإحكامه. يعني if a person examines, inspects, looks carefully at the intizam of the Qur'an. Yani the systematic arrangement of the Qur'an. The way it is arranged. The surahs, the ayat, the words in a particular ayat. If a person looks at this systematic arrangement of the Qur'an, as well as if they look at ihkam, the ihkam of the Qur'an, meaning its perfection, its accuracy, its precision, its clarity. If a person looks at these things, aside from the ayat and what they contain, the arrangement of the Qur'an, and the accuracy and the clarity and the precision of the Qur'an, and they see that, يُصَدِّقُ بَعْدُهُ بَعْدًا وَيُوَافَقُ بَعْدُهُ بَعْدًا. And they see that parts of the Qur'an confirm the truthfulness of other parts of it. And parts of the Qur'an, or every part of the Qur'an is in agreement with other parts. There's no, يعني ليس فيه تناقضٌ. There's no contradiction. وَلَا اخْتِلَافٌ. And there's no inconsistencies. So whoever looks at this, إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَى هَذَا, if a person looks at these things, تَيَقَّنَ, he will become certain. أَنَّهُ, يعني أن القرآن, that the Qur'an is تَنزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. That it is a revelation that has come from the All-Wise, the one who is worthy of all praise. And this is the end of an ayat in Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st Surah, 42nd ayat. Here, after this, yani after the Shaykh mentioned that a person will become certain, after looking at these things, aspects of the Qur'an, they will become certain that it is revelation from the All-Wise, the one who is worthy of all praise. He says then, لَا يَأْتِهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. And no falsehood can come to this Qur'an, not from before or from behind it. This is also from Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st Surah, 42nd Ayah. The same Ayah, but this is the beginning of the Ayah. This is the beginning of that same Ayah. Okay? Yeah, it's the same Ayah. So the Shaykh here is showing what? He's showing that if a person examines some specific aspects of the Qur'an, and its arrangement, its precision, its clarity, its accuracy, then they will become certain that it is revelation from the All-Wise, the one who is worthy of all praise. No falsehood can come in from before it or behind it. And then he says, وَأَنَّهُ, he will also become certain of another thing. And that is, لَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوُجِدَ فِيهِ مِنَ التَّنَاقُدْ وَالْإِخْتِلَافُ أُمُورًا كَثِيرًا. They will also become certain that if it was from other than Allah, there would be found in it تَنَاقُدْ, contradictions, واختلاف, differences and discrepancies, many differences and discrepancies and contradictions. If it were from other than Allah, there would have been found in it contradictions and discrepancies. And then he mentions as a proof, yani for this particular point, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 82nd Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? Do they not carefully examine and ponder over the Qur'an? That if it had been from other than Allah, they would have found in it many discrepancies, many differences, many contradictions. And then, yani the Shaykh goes on to talk about this a little bit. I'm going to stop here just for a minute and look at the Shaykh, the Imam, As-Sa'di's tafsir concerning this particular ayah. And then we're going to come back to this place. He says in his tafsir, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I'm going to try to summarize it as much as possible. Okay, please be patient with me, because it's quite lengthy. And, you know, time is upon us, right? So, he says concerning this ayah, did they not contemplate, do they not contemplate, reflect, examine carefully this Qur'an? If it had been from other than Allah, they would have found in it many discrepancies. He said, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually commanding the people to reflect upon the Qur'an. This is what the meaning is. Do they not reflect upon Allah is telling us, He's ordering us to reflect upon the Qur'an. And this tadabbur, the meaning of it is ta'ammul. Yani to contemplate, to reflect, to ponder, to examine carefully its meanings, the meanings of the ayat of the Qur'an, and to think about it carefully, to see where things start and where they end, and what are the necessary, yani consequences as contained in the ayats of the Quran. ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ تَدَبُّرُ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. And the reason why Allah has ordered us to reflect on the Quran is because reflecting on the book of Allah is the miftah, the key to all knowledge. وَبِهِ يَسْتَنْتِجُ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ. And through the reflecting upon the Quran, every type of good is, yani, the result, is produced. And every knowledge is derived from reflecting upon the Quran. وَبِهِ يَزْدَادُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Yani, and likewise, through reflecting upon the Quran, iman in the heart is increased, and the shajara of iman is firmly planted. Then the Shaykh says, yani, indeed, how is iman increased, and how is the shajara, yani, firmly planted? Because reflecting on the Quran makes you to know your Rabb, the one who is worshipped. And to know what he is deserving of characteristics of perfection. And to know what he should be declared free of characteristics of imperfection. And it will also make you to know the way, the tariq that leads to him. And the characteristics of the people of that road that lead to him. And what they will have, yani, when they return to him. And it also makes you to know the enemy, who is the real enemy. And the way that leads to punishment, and the characteristics of the people upon that road, and what they will have, yani, when the causes of punishment are present, yani, when they commit things that cause them to be punished. Then the Shaykh says, to the extent that a person reflects upon the Quran, to that extent will be increased their knowledge, and their action, and their basira, their insight. And for this reason, it is for this reason that a person's knowledge will be increased, and their actions will be increased, and their basir will be increased, and their iman will be increased. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the people to reflect on the Quran. And He encouraged the people to reflect upon the Quran. And He informed us that this reflection on the Quran, huwa al-maqsood bi-inzal al-Quran. This is the purpose for which the Quran was revealed, to be reflected upon, not just to be recited nicely. And then he mentions some ayats in proof of this. And we're going to see those ayats later on. I'll just give you a reference. He mentioned from Surah Al-Sa'd, the 38th surah, 29th ayat. And from Surah Muhammad, 47th surah, 24th ayat. Yani, that this is a book that has been sent down. It is full of blessings. Li yaddabbaru ayatihi. So that the people, so that they will reflect upon it. And in the other ayat he said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect upon the Quran? Then the Shaykh says, and I'm going to end the tafsir with this. He says, "Min fawaid at-tadabbur li kitabillah." Yani, from the benefits of reflecting upon the Book of Allah, annahu bidhalika yasil al-'abd ila darajat al-yaqin wal-'ilm bi-annahu kalamullah. Yani, by reflecting, the person will reach the level of yaqin and the level of knowledge of the fact that this is the speech of Allah. Person will be certain, by reflecting upon the Quran, they will become certain. Their knowledge and their certainty, they will be, yani, they will reach that level in which they will know that it is the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. And that is because they will see that each part of it, yani, confirms the truthfulness of another part, and each part of it agrees with its other parts. So you will see the aspects of hikam, the wisdom in the Quran, and the stories in the Quran, and the information about, yani, the past or the future, which will be repeated in the Quran in a number of places, and all of it being in agreement, confirming one another. And there will be no, yani, nothing in it, la yanqudu ba'duhu ba'da. No part of it will nullify or invalidate another part. And then the Shaykh closes with these two points, which is of the utmost importance. فَلِذَلِكَ يَعْلَمْ بِذَلِكَ بِذَلِكَ يَعْلَمْ كَمَالُ الْقُرْآنِ. So from this, reflecting upon the Quran and looking at how it is all in agreement, one part with another and in harmony, with this the person knows the perfection of the Quran. Will know that the Quran is perfect. وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِي مَنْ أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِجَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ. And you will also know that this Quran is from the one whose knowledge encompasses everything. These are two tremendous points here. Yani that reflecting on the Quran and examining what it contains will make a person to know the perfection of the Quran, and they will also know that it's from the one whose knowledge encompasses everything. And that's why Allah said in the Quran that if it had been from other than Allah, they would have found in it many discrepancies, contradictions, differing. But since it is from Allah, then you didn't find any discrepancies in it at all. Okay, after this, we're going to go back to where we're reading from, where that ayah came on page 46 in the Arabic, top half of the page, where he mentioned that ayah that we just read his tafsir from the Imam, rahimahullah. Then he says, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ مُقَوِّيَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ وَيُقَوِّهِ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ كَثِيرًا. Here there's some discrepancy in the translation as well, so please pay attention if you're reading from the English. The author, he says, this, reflecting upon the Qur'an, is from the greatest of the مُقَوِّيَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ, the things that strengthen iman, that make iman strong. وَيُقَوِّهِ, and he said, and by doing this, the person's iman is strengthened مِنْ وُجُوهٍ كَثِيرًا, in many ways. Not just is it a strengthening of iman, but it's strengthened in many ways, مِنْ وُجُوهٍ كَثِيرًا. And then he mentions, from those ways, he says, فَالْمُؤْمِنْ بِمُجَرِّدْ مَا يَتْلُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَعْرِفُ مَا دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ الصَّادِقَةِ وَالْأَحْكَامِ الْحَسَنَةِ يَحْسُلُ لَهُ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْإِيمَانِ كَثِيرًا خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. He said, so the believer simply reciting the ayat of Allah and coming to know some of what those ayat point to of al-akhbar as-sadiqah, yani the information, the news of the nations before, whatever Allah has informed us about, this truthful information, akhbar sadiqa. Yani it means like akhbar, right? Is like news. So the, yani in Arabic, in the Arab countries, they say, you want to listen to the akhbar, the news. But of course, their news is not sadiqa, it's kadhiba. Their news is false news. But here, sure, I mean, all the news in the whole world is false news. Yani ABC, NBC, even in the Muslim lands. It's mostly falsehood. The important thing here is that the Shaykh is saying here that this akhbar in the Quran is sadiqa. It's all truthful. All of it is the truth. Wal ahkam al hasana, and the legal rulings, the judgments that are hasana, that are good, that are fine, that are excellent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person simply recites the ayat of Allah and come to know these things, the akhbar al sadiqa, truthful information, and find beautiful, excellent rulings, then that person will achieve from the matters of iman much good, khayran kathir. That is just by general reflection. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا أَحْسَنَ تَأَمُّلَهُ وَفَهِمَ مَقَاصِدَهُ وَأَسْرَارَهُ. Then he says, so if that is just for general contemplation, what about if a person excels in the excellence of their contemplation, meaning they reflect carefully, thoroughly, and they understand the maqasid, the purposes, the objectives of what Allah has revealed in the Quran. What's the purpose of this ayat or that ayat, or this ruling or this information? If a person understood those things, wa asrarahu, and the secrets, meaning the finer points that are contained in the Quran, that not everybody who reads the Quran sees or understands. And the proof of that is that you read the tafsir of the scholars of Sunnah, read an ayat 20 times, and think about it, and then go back and read the tafsir, and you'll see that I didn't see any of that. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Quran, in one of his tafsirs of the Quran, he mentions the surah, ayat of yani tahara, pure of wudu. And in that ayat, he mentions ahkam, benefits, fawaid, that are derived from this ayat. One ayat from the Quran. And if you were to look at that ayat, maybe you'll get one or two or three points. But he listed from 1 to 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 and beyond 50. Benefits from one ayat in the Quran. So these are the things that the ordinary person who reads the Quran is not going to see. If a person excels in the excellence of their ta'amul and they understand the purposes and the objectives of what Allah has revealed in the Quran and its finer points, then how much more then would their iman be increased. It is for this reason that the mu'minun al-kummal, yani those believers who complete and seek to perfect their iman, they said, as mentioned in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah 190, 3rd ayat, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Yani they said, our Rabb, this is from the 3rd Surah 193rd ayat, our Rabb, indeed, we have heard munadiyan, a caller. The author, the Shaykh, he says in his tafsir, وَهُوَ الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ. Yani the caller, the munadiyan, is the noble messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling the people to iman, to believe in your Rabb. They said, فَآمَنَّا, so we believed. Yani we heard what was revealed to him, what he recited to us. He's calling us to iman by the Quran, and we knew that it is the truth, so we believed. This is the end of the first point that the Shaykh mentions. This is our second matter, which increases iman. Now he goes, I don't know what page we're on now in English, but we're on page 46, the bottom of the page, in Arabic. He says third point, the third thing from the things that through which a person derives iman, and iman is strengthened and increased. وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَعْرِفَةُ أَحَدِيثَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And likewise, yani meaning just like the tadabbur, the contemplation on the ayat, yani of the Quran, just like it increases iman, وَكَذَٰلِكَ, in the same way, مَعْرِفَةُ أَحَدِيثَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, yani having knowledge of, seeking knowledge of the ahadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَا تَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ عُلُومَ الْإِيمَانِ وَعَمَالِهِ, and what those ahadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم call to, yani what they invite you to, and what they yani offer to you of the ulum and the amal of iman, yani the sciences, the knowledge that's connected to iman, and the actions that are a part of iman. He said, in the same way, knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet and all that it calls to, the knowledge that it offers and the actions that it invites one to and teach one of, كلها من محصلات الإيمان ومقوياته. All of that is also from the things through which a person achieves iman and through which the iman is strengthened. فكلما ازداد العبد معرفة بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ازداد إيمانه ويقينه وقد يصل في علمه وإيمانه إلى مرتبة اليقين. This is the end of this point 3. Now, in the translation, the point 3 is not fully translated. So pay attention to the translation of the meaning of what the Shaykh says here. And then the next part of what he covers after this is, and he's showing the station of the people of iman and the excellence of knowledge, and also he goes back to reflecting upon the Quran. But this point that's related to the hadith, he says, and likewise, just like reflecting on the Quran, having knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and what it calls to, the knowledge that it offers and the actions that it directs us to, all of this is from the things through which a person achieves iman and through which iman is strengthened. And then he says, فَقُلُّ مَا إِزْدَادَ الْعَبْدِ مَعْرِفَةً, to the extent that a person increases in their knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to that extent, his iman and his yaqeen will be increased. And then he says, it is possible that a person in their iman, فِي عِلْمِهِ وَإِمَانِهِ, in their knowledge and in their iman, that this may enable them to reach مَرَتَبَةَ الْيَقِينِ, the station of certainty, in their knowledge and in their iman. They may reach the station of certainty. I'm going to stop here and go to brief commentary from Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Arabat, Hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, concerning some points that he made concerning the Sunnah. Some points that he made concerning this third point, that is, knowing the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ and all that it calls to. He said, فَهَذَا السَّبَبْ الثَّالِثُ. This is the third cause or means that the Shaykh has mentioned, رحمه الله, from the asbab of ziyadat al-iman, the causes of increase of iman and strengthening of iman and the growth of iman. It is al-inayatu bis-sunnah an-nabawiyyah. It is giving care, giving your attention to the prophetic sunnah, the sunnah of the noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, the abd, the human being, the worshipper of Allah, as much as that person increases in their inayah bis-sunnah, giving care to the sunnah, then their iman and their yaqeen will be increased. Allah Jalla wa Ala has revealed to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-kitab wal-hikmah, the book that is the Quran, and the hikmah, meaning the sunnah. The sunnah. He revealed the book and the sunnah to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hidayatan lil-khalq, as a means of guidance for the creation. وَإِضَاحَةً لِلْسَبِيلِ, and a means of clarity to the way, the road, to reach Him, to reach His pleasure. وَإِزَالَةً لِلْشُبْهَ وَالْرَيْبِ, and to remove any doubts and any uncertainties. And then he mentions two ayat, the first one from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 52nd ayat. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, and likewise, we have revealed to you, that is, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ruhan min amrina, yani a spirit, meaning a revelation from our command. Ma kunta tadri mal kitabu walal imanu. You didn't before this know anything about the book, and you didn't know about iman, the aspects of iman that Allah is revealing to him. Walakin ja'alnahu nuran, but we have made it a light. نَهْدِ بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, and we guide by this light whomever we will. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and indeed you, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, you definitely guide to a straight path. Here the Shaykh is showing us what? That Allah has revealed the Qur'an, the Kitab, and the Sunnah as guidance for humanity. So just as the Qur'an, reflecting on the Qur'an and learning the Qur'an is a means of increase of iman, likewise the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 10th and 11th ayat, قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ ذِكْرًا. Indeed, Allah has revealed to you a dhikr, a reminder, meaning the Qur'an. رَسُولًا يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مُبَيِّنَاتِ, a messenger reciting to you the ayat of Allah, clear explanations. لِيُخْرِجَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعْمَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, so that he may bring those who believe and do good deeds out of darkness into the light. Here the Shaykh says, فَالْإِنَايَةُ بِالسُّنَّةِ, so giving care to the sunnah, it is حِفْظًا لَهَا, memorizing it. Memorizing it. وَفَهْمًا حِفْظًا لَهَا وَفَهْمًا لِمَعَانِيهَا وَمَقَاسِدِهَا, and understanding its meanings and its maqasid. What are its objectives? What are the goals of what came to us in the sunnah? What is the purpose of what the Prophet ﷺ has conveyed to us? What was the objective? Yani knowing its meanings and knowing its objectives. وَعَمَلًا بِمَا دَلَّتْ إِلَيْهِ وَأَرْشَدَتْ, and also acting upon what it points to and what it guides to, including al-ibadat al-kamila, the acts of worship that are perfect and complete. Wal-akhlaq al-fadila, and the character and manners that are noble manners. Kullu dhalika, kama qala rahimahullah min muhassilat al-iman wa mukhawiyatihi, all of that is from those things through which iman is derived and it is strengthened. And as much as the abd gives care, inayah, to the sunnah, to that extent, he will have an increase. The more he increases his care to the sunnah, the more he will be increased in his portion of iman. Then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, وَالسُنَّةُ وَحْيٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and know for sure, don't forget this point, that sunnah, the sunnah, is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Najm, 53rd Surah, 3rd and 4th ayat, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا, and he does not speak from his hawa, his desires. He's not just making up stuff. in huwa illa wahyun. It is no more than revelation that has been revealed. وَقُلُّ مَا عَظُمَ حَظَّ الْعَبْدِ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ إِنَايَةً بِهَا عَظُمَ حَظُّهُ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ بِحَيَاةِ الْإِيمَانِ. So to whatever extent, كُلُّ مَا عَظُمَ, the greater is a person's يعني portion of the sunnah, giving care to the sunnah. The more a person gives care to the sunnah, the greater will be their portion of life. يعني the life of iman. Real life. وَهِيَ الْحَيَاةِ الْحَقِيقِيَّةِ. يعني the life of iman is the real life. As has been pointed to by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 24th Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. يعني all you who believe, respond to, answer Allah and His Messenger when you are called, when He calls you to that which gives you life. This is the real life. And this life comes from the wahi, both the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the last thing I want to say is the Shaykh's introduction to the next point that we're going to go to. And that is, he says, here the author, rahimahullah, mentions مَكَانَةَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Yani what follows in the book is not related specifically to the Sunnah, rather it's related to the high station of the people of knowledge. Those people who have care for the book and the Sunnah. Those people who possess al-basira, insight. This is not in the book. This is the Shaykh introducing the next point. Shaykh Abdul Razak is introducing the next point. He's just telling us that what follows is not related specifically to the Sunnah, but it's related to the people of knowledge who give care to the Quran and the Sunnah. The station, the status, the lofty, yani position of the people of knowledge who give care to the book and the Sunnah, who have basira, who have fahm bideen illahi, yani who understand the deen of Allah, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And from the station, the status of these people is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tashhada bihim, that Allah uses them as a witness against the rest of the creation. And here the author, rahimahullah, mentions a number of places in the Quran in which it mentions that how Allah refers to the people of knowledge in reference to them being a proof and a witness against the rest of the people of knowledge, the rasikhuna fil ilm, those people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And from that which indicates their high station and their high status, and how they have been distinguished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, due to their yani being firmly grounded in knowledge and their insight into the deen. From that which indicates this is from the ayahs that the Shaykh mentions, is the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 7th ayah, and we're going to read that now, inshallah. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, yani from what we read already, we're going back to, in Arabic, we're going back to page 46, the bottom of the page, under the third point, where we mention about knowing the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. After that, the Shaykh says, فَقَدْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Yani this from this point on, is dealing with the station of the people of knowledge, the status of the people of knowledge. فَقَدْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Allah has described those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. They are those who have achieved hasala lahum al-ilm al-tam al-qawi. Yani they have reached a level of complete and strong knowledge. Knowledge which repulses ash-shubuhat wal-rayb, doubts and uncertainties, and necessitates al-yaqeen al-tam. Knowledge that necessitates a person has complete certainty. وَلِهَذَا كَانُوا سَادَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And for this reason, the people of knowledge are the leaders of the believers. And they are those who, Allah describes, they are those who استشهد الله بهم. Allah used them as witnesses. وَاحْتَجَّ بِهِمْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ الْمُرْتَبِينَ وَالْجَاهِدِينَ. And Allah used them as a proof against others, the people who are doubters and deniers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, in this ayah from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 7th ayah, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. that He, Allah, is the one who sent down upon you the book. And He sent down upon the Prophet ﷺ the book, the Qur'an. And from it are ayats that are muhkamat. And this has two different meanings, but what is intended here is ayat and muhkamat are clear, completely clear. There's no doubt about their meanings. Hunna umul kitab. Those are the umul kitab. They are the asl, the marjiya, that everything else has to go back to. Wa ukhra mutashabihat. And there are other ayat in the Quran which are mutashabihat, meaning they are not completely clear. They have more than one possible meaning. When a person sees the ayat, they can understand it one way or another. So there are two types of ayat in terms of what is mentioned in this place here. Muhkamat wa mutashabihat. Muhkamat, its meaning is completely clear. It can only be understood in one way. And mutashabihat, those which could be understood in more than one way. So those ayat have to be referred back to the muhkamat. The meaning has to be in agreement with the muhkamat. If it can be understood in more than one way, only the meaning that is in agreement with the muhkamat is acceptable. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. As far as those who have deviation, sickness in their hearts, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Then they follow the mutashabihat ayats, the ones that are not clear. إِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. Seeking fitna, seeking trials and tribulations and confusion. وَبْتِغَاءَ تَعْوِيلَ. And seeking to understand the meanings that cannot be understood. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Nobody knows the ta'wil of these ayats except Allah. And then Allah closed the ayat by mentioning the rasikuna, the ahl al-ilm, who are firmly grounded in knowledge. وَرَاسِكُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِي. Those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it. Yani the Qur'an. كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. All of it is from our Rabb. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُوا إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And there are no people who يعني, take heed to this except the people of understanding. The Shaykh, he says, concerning this, the Rasikuna, زَالَ عَنْهُمُ الْجَهْلُ وَالرَّيْبُ وَأَنْوَاعُ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَرَدُّوا الْمُتَشَابِهَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ إِلَى الْمُحْكَمِ مِنْهَا. يعني the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, ignorance and uncertainties and doubtful matters have been removed from them. And they refer the mutashabi, ones which are not clear, ayat, to the muhkam, the ones that its meaning is crystal clear, can only be understood in one way. And they say, amanna bil jamee. We believe in all of it. Yani the muhkam and the mutashabi. All of it is from Allah. وَمَا مِنْهُ وَمَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ وَحَكَمَ بِهِ كُلُّهُ حَقٌ وَسِرْكٌ. I don't know if this is in the English translation. The Shaykh says, وَمَا مِنْهُ, and everything that is from him, Allah. وَمَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ, and whatever he has spoken with. وَحَكَمَ بِهِ, and he has judged or ruled. All of it is haq. And all of it is sidq. All of it is the truth. And all of it is truthfulness. Then the Shaykh mentions these ayat. And Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh mentions these ayat. One of them I want to discuss, but maybe we're not going to have time, so I'll kind of maybe just summarize it, and maybe next week we'll come back to it. But the Shaykh mentions ayat here that are in line with, yani, the station, the status of the Ahlul Ilm, especially the ones who are firmly grounded in knowledge. He mentioned Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 162nd ayat. Qala ta'ala, wa qala ta'ala, لَكِنِّ الرَّاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Yani, but here Allah is referring, this but is referring back to, because he was talking about the Ahlul Kitab before this, and he said, but the رَاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ, from the Ahlul Kitab, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge from the Ahlul Kitab, like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, who was a scholar from amongst the Yahud. He said, unlike those other Ahlul Kitab, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge from amongst them, wal mu'minuna, and the believers, yani the Ansar and the Muhajireen, all of them, the firmly grounded in knowledge who came from the Ahlul Kitab, and the believers, yani from the Ansar and the Muhajireen, all of them believe in what has been revealed to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was revealed before you. Then the next ayah he mentions, surah from Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 18th Ayat, call Allah Ta'ala, Shahid Allah, أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. That Allah bears witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Him. والملائكة. Here notice that Allah is joining to His bearing witness the angels without mentioning another verb. He's connecting them directly to His, to one verb. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة. And the angels, وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, and the people of knowledge, قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, upholding justice, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. There's nothing deserves your worship except Him, the Mighty, the All-Wise. This ayah requires some discussion, but for the sake of time, we're going to have to maybe hold it until the end or next week. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Allah bears witness that there's nothing which deserves your worship except Him, and also the angels bear witness, and also the people of knowledge bear witness. But Allah joins them all together, and this is an indication of the excellence of the Ahlul Ilm. He says, the Shaykh commented on this ayah, says, وَبِعِلْمِهِمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَالْعِلْمَ التَّامِ وَإِمَانِهِمْ الصَّحِيِ اشْتَشْحَدَ بِهِمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Yani it is due to their knowledge of the Qur'an, their complete and perfect knowledge of the Qur'an, and their correct iman, their knowledge and their iman. It is due to that Allah used them as witnesses in this world as well as in the next life. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Yani as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Rum, 30th Surah, 56th Ayat, يعني, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. And those who were given knowledge and iman, they said, لَقَدْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ. Yani the people who denied, they tried to claim that they wasn't in the world, but for a short period of time. And that Allah will use as a witness against them the people of knowledge and iman, who will say to them, indeed you stayed. Yani, for the period of time that's in the book of Allah, meaning in the qadr of Allah, in the terms of what Allah has decreed, until the day of ba'th, yani of resurrection. So this is the, yani, fahada yawmul ba'th. And this is the day of resurrection, of rising. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. But you didn't used to know. Yani you didn't know the truth. And even now, yani you're still like the people who denied the truth. After this, the Shaykh says, concerning this ayat, and I'm not forgetting the ayat before that, from Surah Ali Imran, 18th ayat. وَأَخْبَرَ تَعَالَى فِي إِدَّةِ الْآيَاتِ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ آيَاتٌ. That Allah has informed us in a number of ayats of the Qur'an, that the Qur'an are signs. In the Qur'an there are signs. لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُوْقِنِينَ. For the people who have iman and the people who have yaqeen. And that is because لِأَنَّهُ يَحْسُلُ لَهُمْ بِتِلَاوَتِهِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْيَقِينِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِحَسَبِ مَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَزَالُونَ يَزْدَادُونَ عِلْمًا وَإِيمَانًا وَيَقِينًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that in the Qur'an, yani we find ayat for the people of iman and certainty, and that is because through their tilawah, the recitation of the Qur'an, and their tadabbur, their reflection on the Qur'an, they achieve from knowledge and certainty and iman whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani grants them, gives them success. فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهُ. Whatever Allah gives them success with. So they never cease. لَا يَزَالُونَ فَلَا يَزَالُونَ يَزْدَادُونَ. They never cease increasing in knowledge and in iman and in yaqeen. Naam. Okay, so I'm going to finish yani the what remains, and then perhaps yani read a little bit from concerning the ayat in Surah Ali Imran. Here the Shaykh changed the subject to tadabbur al-Qur'an. Yani now he goes back again to reflecting upon the Qur'an. He said, فَالتَدَبُّرْ لِلْقُرْآنِ مِنْ أَعَظَمِ الطُّرُقْ وَالْوَسَائِلِ الْجَالِبَةِ لِلْإِيمَانِ وَالْمُقَوِّيَ لَهُ. Yani that reflecting upon the Qur'an is from the greatest yani means, yani turuq and wasail, the means or the ways to achieve iman and to strengthen it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Sad, yani he mentioned that in the tafsir, this ayat earlier. In the tafsir, we're reading from the tafsir. 38th surah, 29th ayah, Surah As-Sad. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And a book which we have sent down, we have sent it, أَنزَلْنَاهُ, we have sent it down to you, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مُبَارَكٌ, full of blessings. So that they may reflect on its ayat. That's the purpose of it. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. It was sent down so the people may reflect upon the ayat. وَيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And the people of understanding will be reminded. They will remember. They will take heed. فاستخراج بركة القرآن. يعني deriving the barakah from the Qur'an. And from the most important of that barakah is achieving iman. Deriving the barakah of the Qur'an and the most important of the barakah is iman. He said, سَبِيلُهُ وَتُرْكُهُ تَدَبُّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَتَأَمُّلِهَا. يعني the way of getting, يعني the barakah of the Qur'an, the way and the tariqah, the sabil and the tariqah, is reflecting upon its ayat and contemplating, pondering over the ayat of the Qur'an. كَمَا ذُكِرَ أَنَّ تَدَبْرُ يُخْ. And also it has been mentioned that reflecting upon the Qur'an stops the jahid, يعني the denier, who denies the truth, from his denial. وَيَمْنَعُ الْمُعْتَدِيَ. And it also prevents the transgressor, يعني مُعْتَدِي عَلَى الدِّينِ, the one who transgresses in the deen, from his transgression. Reflecting on the Qur'an prevents these people from denial and from transgression. Allah the Most High said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 68th Ayat, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ. يعني did they not reflect upon the qawl, يعني the word of the Qur'an? And the Shaykh says the meaning of this, فَلَوْ تَدَبَّرُوهُ حَقَّ تَدَبُّرِهِ. If they had actually reflected upon it, in the way that it is deserved to be reflected upon, if they had reflected upon it, the way that it deserves to be reflected upon, لَمَنَعَهُمْ مِمَّا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكُفُرِ وَالتَّكْذِيبِ. It would have prevented them from the disbelief and the denial that they are upon. وَأَوْجَبَ لَهُمَ الْإِيمَانِ وَاتِّبَاءَ مَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ. And it would have necessitated, it would have obligated them to have iman, and it would have obligated them to follow the one who came with this book. The next ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, and this is the last of the ayahs that he mentioned, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And Allah said in Surah Yunus, 10th, Surah Yunus is 10th surah? No. I think it's 10th surah, 39th ayah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ. Rather they denied that which they didn't have full knowledge of. لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ. They didn't encompass, they didn't, يعني, have full knowledge of what they are denying. Ibn Kathir says that, this is not in the book, this is from Tafsir Ibn Kathir, he says that these people denied the Qur'an while they didn't even understand it or know it, but they denied it without understanding it. And Imam al-Shawkani, his tafsir says, they hastened to deny the Qur'an before they even reflected upon it, before they understood its meanings, before they understood what it contained. And due to this, it is as though they are calling out in the highest voice against themselves, showing their ignorance and their inability to even understand. The Shaykh, he says, that the meaning of this ayat, بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ. He said, A, فَلَوْ حَصَلَ لَهُمْ الْإِحَاطَ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمَنَعَهُمْ مِنَ التَّكْذِيبِ وَأَوْجِبَ لَهُمْ الْإِيمَانِ. يعني this ayah is also used in the same way, that if they had, in, يعني again the translation, I forgot the word they used, but it's not really clear, this is the real meaning of it, فَلَوْ حَصَلَ لَهُمْ الْإِحَاطَ بِعِلْمِهِ. If they had reached the stage of الْإِحَاطَ, يعني that their knowledge encompassed, covered completely, yani what the Qur'an contained, if they had actually really read the Qur'an properly, and they had al-hafa. Al-hafa means that you understand a thing in its totality. If they had reached that level of knowledge, it would have prevented them from denying the Qur'an. It would have necessitated for them to believe, to have iman. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, and this is what we're going to close with. I know that we are already at the hour mark. Allahumma musta'an. Any almost just about seconds. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, he mentions rahimahullah some of the benefits of the ayat that we mentioned from Surah Ali Imran, third surah, 18th ayat, Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa. Allah bears witness, and the angels, and the people of knowledge bear witness to la ilaha illa huwa, that there is nothing which deserves worship except Allah alone. He says from the benefits, yani, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the people of knowledge to testify to the most noble thing that can be testified to, and that is his tawheed. In it is an indication of the fadl of ilm wa ahlihi min wujub. In it is an indication of the excellence, the virtue, the superiority of knowledge and the people of knowledge from different aspects. And then he mentions a number of aspects. We're going to read some of them, inshallah. He said, and this ayat is an indication of the superiority and the virtue and the excellence of knowledge and the people of knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm. From one perspective is their bearing istishhaduhum, yani Allah using them as a witness to the exclusion of other people of humanity. Yani the people of knowledge, he made them the witness and excluded everybody else. He didn't use anybody else as a witness. The second thing he said, that he has coupled their witness with their testimony with his testimony. Allah has coupled the testimony of the people of knowledge with his testimony. This is from Ibn Qayyim's book, yani Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. It's not in our book, Shajarat al-Iman. He has coupled their testimony with his testimony. Third thing he said, he has coupled their testimony with the testimony of the angels. All of this shows the excellence of knowledge in the people of knowledge. The fourth point he said, yani what is implied in this is tazkiyatuhum wa ta'adiluhum. What is implied in this is that Allah is declaring their integrity and their uprightness. By using them as witnesses, He is declaring their integrity and their uprightness. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only uses as a witness from His creation those who have integrity, the just, the righteous and the upright. The fifth point he said, that Allah has described them with being ulul ilm. This is the description that Allah gave them, that they are the ulul ilm, the people who possess knowledge. And this indicates ikhtisasihim bi, that knowledge is exclusively for them, to the exclusion of other people. The ahlul ilm, knowledge really belongs to them. Other people just borrow some knowledge, just use it now and then. But the real people of knowledge, the ahlul ilm, they are the people, yani, who has the right to be, and Allah has described them with this description. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing them as Ahlul Ilm, indicates that it's exclusively for them, that they are the Ahlul Ilm, they are the Ashabul Ilm, and they are not, yani, people who just borrowed the knowledge to use it for a time. The sixth point, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, yani, istashhada binafsihi, wa huwa ajallu shahid. Yani Allah has used Himself as a witness, and He is the most noble of witnesses. And then, after declaring Himself to be a witness to this, He has chosen the best of His creation to bear witness, that is the angels and the ulama from amongst His servants. And this is sufficient, if there was nothing else, sufficient to show the excellence and the superiority and the honor of the people of knowledge. The seventh point the Shaykh mentions, إِسْتَشْهَدَ بِهِمْ عَلَى جَلِّ مَشْهُودْ بِهِ وَعَظَمُهُ وَأَكْبَرُهُ. That Allah used them as a witness for the most noble thing that one can bear witness to. The greatest, the most important thing that one can bear witness to, and that is the testimony that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Him. And Allah, the great, Al-Azim, He doesn't bear witness, He doesn't use as a witness in this important matter except the greatest and the leaders and the best of His creation. The eighth point he said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'ala shahadatahum hujjatan alal munkirin. Allah made their testimony as a hujjah, a proof against the deniers. Yani it's a hujjah against the deniers. On Yawm al-Qiyamah they won't have any argument, because Allah has established a proof against them by having the Ahlul Ilm bear witness that He alone deserves to be worshipped. Anybody who denied it, they won't have any excuse on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They, the people of knowledge, and they're bearing witness, he said, they are in the station of Allah's adilla and Allah's ayat and barahim. Yani they are like Allah's dalil and Allah's signs and Allah's proofs that point to His tawheed When the Ahlul Ilm say La ilaha illallah with the proofs and evidences that they have, they become Allah's dalil and Allah's burhan and Allah's ayat, proofs and signs and evidences that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Him. Last two points that the Shaykh makes, we're going to close. Allahu musta'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afrada al-fi'l al-muttadammina lihadihi shahada al-sadira minhu wa min malaikatihi wa minhum. That Allah has only used one verb for this bearing witness that comes from Him and that's coming from His angels and that's coming from the people of knowledge. He didn't join their testimony with another verb. Yani, meaning Allah bears witness and the angels bear witness, mentioning bearing witness again, and then, yani, the scholars bear witness. But He just said bear witness one time, He, the angels, and the people of knowledge. He said, this indicates shiddatul irtibat shahadatihim bi shahadati. Yani, this indicates the strength and the power and the intensity of the tying of their bearing witness to His, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bearing witness. How strongly they are tied together. فَكَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. It is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bearing witness for Himself with tawheed, but on the tongues of the people of knowledge. Yani, He caused them to speak, to say this testimony. So Allah, He Himself is the shahid to La ilaha illallah. Because He is the one, when He caused them to say it, He is the one who established this testimony. He is the one who made them to speak it. He is the one who taught them it. So they are bearing witness, they are shahidun biha lahu. They are only bearing witness to it for Allah. Yani, agreeing, confessing, yani, acknowledging, testifying to the truthfulness, and believing in what Allah testified to. They are testifying to what He testified to. In other words, we bear witness to what Allah said. Allah is the witness for Himself, and they are only bearing witness to what He said. And the last point the Shaykh says, وَسُبْحَانَهُ جَعَلَهُمْ مُؤَدِّينَ بِحَقِّهِ عِنْدَ عِبَادِهِ بِهَذِهِ الشَّهَادَةِ. That Allah caused the people of knowledge to fulfill His right amongst His worshippers with this shahada, to fulfill His right. So when they fulfill that right, they have fulfilled it, yani the thing that is being borne witness to, that is, that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. That's His right, to be worshipped alone. When they fulfill this by bearing witness that He is the only one deserves to be worshipped, then they have affirmed this truth. And therefore it became obligatory upon the rest of the creation to also confess and to comply with it. So this, yani, their, yani, being the proof that necessitates the rest of the creation bearing witness to the right of Allah to be worshipped alone, this is غَيَةِ سَعَدَتِهِمْ فِي مَعَاشِهِمْ وَمَعَادِهِمْ. This is the height of their success, of their prosperity, of their happiness in this world and in the next. Because every person who receives guidance through their shahada, and every person who confirms the truth as a result of their shahada, then they will have a reward like the reward of that person who was guided, and that person who confirmed the truth. And this is a fadl, azim. Nobody knows its magnitude except Allah. Yani, the kind of reward that the scholars will get for every person who was guided to the truth by their shahada. And likewise, he closes by saying, every person who then, after knowing the truth, bears witness, becomes a bearer of witness themselves to this truth, based upon the shahada of the Ahlul Ilm, فَلَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلَ أَجْرِهِمْ أَيْدًا. Then they will also, the scholars, will also have a reward, like the reward of that person who bears witness after them, based upon their shahada, they will also have a reward like that person. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in numerous hadith, without their reward being diminished in any way. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Pardon me. If anybody has any questions, we'll take them after we close, because we won't let anybody go who has to go. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khair.